there's what I call bank walking. This is a set that I have for links, and this is where I caught a lynx. And you see how this is produced in real, real cold weather. This tree is about 5 meters above the stream itself. And so this, I climbed up the bank, and I climb up the bank. I learned long ago you don't put any kind of sets near the creek itself, because they're going to get glaciered under. And where I walked up there, my little trail, actually the water was, in real cold weather, the water comes down from above on the surface of the creek, freezes off, and in real cold weather, this is after 50, 60 below winter, the water gets into the sides, and so you can see it here. It'll actually climb the banks, and it looks like it's defying the laws of physics, but it's really not doing that. It gets into the scientists probably could explain it quite a bit better than me, but basically the water's being insulated in that snow layer. It weeps out, freezes, and expands, and keeps stepping itself up incrementally. And the water actually has a taper to it. It actually flows at a real slight decline, and I've seen this go for miles until it comes to a rock structure or something that stops.
That slope can be a good 50 feet wide, can't it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I've seen this for extents for up to hundreds of yards in some areas where, in cold weather, it'll climb way up the bank and be these great big ice sheets, which sometimes if you're coming to a pressure heave, what the dangers of these pressure heaves and travel is that they build a big pressure heave. If another flow of water comes behind it, actually is an obstruction to the flow, and there'll be big pools of water behind that. Up to chest deep pools of water. If you want to get out of it, if you want to get out of the drainage and go up on the banks and go around it, sometimes you have this phenomenon, which basically excludes you from climbing around on the banks. So there's some very interesting phenomena in the Brooks Range.
You know, you've got the line over the horizontal line, the top of the ice. Now, if you step above that,
yeah, right, you'll get into water.
And you can get it knee deep or whatever.
Right.
And so the water, and we're looking upslope. So the water is there's always water moving down that slope, and it's being forced to the surface and freezing because right. The ice below it is right. Frozen down.
And that's where a lot of people that come to the Brooks Range make the mistake around these off ice sheets, and dogs really have an aversion to running on ice, and so they have. It's real typical for dog teams to that get on overflow for the first time, off ice sheets. They want to go to the snow, and they go right into the deepest water. And so sometimes it's not actually stepped up like that. It's just moved into the willow bar right next to the off ice. It starts to attain different levels on the riparian area. And the dogs will dive into the water. They get the sled over there in deep water, and the musher's all wet, and they're like cussing after dogs, and it's a big mess. During the Coldfoot Classic race that they used to have, we used to go from Wiseman, Anatubic, down to Battles. Rick Swenson. He said he came up for that race. He thought it was going to be a nice little spring trip. It was minus 30. The wind was blowing. He got down on the John River, and his dogs dove into one of these water holes off the side of the off ice. He's wet to his knees. He had to have somebody else help him extract his sled. Quote, unquote, at the Crevice Creek checkpoint, he says, you should have to run the Iditarod to qualify for this race, indicating that the Brooks Range is considerably harder traveling than a lot of the Iditarod.
That's kind of what I was getting at earlier when I said, you know, a lot of these dangers are really subtle.
Yeah.
And that, you know, really, I've seen really super experienced people get in big trouble because it's really hard to pick out some of these things.
Mm-hmm. And I fought just trying to get a skidoo back up out of that, to get back up onto the ice.
Right. Well, even
real pain.
And sometimes the ice is going down at such a slant, you just stay on the ice
as it emerges.
Right.
Yeah, Jack, many years ago, I spent the first winter of pipeline construction as a cop behind a billboard, biologist looking after habitat. And up in the two sections just the side of the Brooks Range, the road builders and the pipeline constructors had just an awful time with alpha ice. Now, I got to buy a sample, but it seemed to me everywhere the engineers and contractors went out and diddled around in the muskeg, they got alpha ice problems. Do you have a sense that disturbance makes the problems of ice worse, or is that just my bias?
No, that's exactly what happens. The disturbance putting in culverts and so forth, that may work in other regions, but they'll put culverts across these heavy off-ice flows, these discharge flows, backs it all up against that flooding across the road. They have Disaster Creek and various drainages that are named because of those disasters. These are indicative of that, of some of the man-made structures that have actually changed how drainages flow and how the off-ice actually builds. They've accommodated that by usually putting in bridges or putting in super large diameter culverts and building the embankment up so that the off-ice can continue to flow through the culvert throughout the whole year, like a rock creek just right above the mouth of the Dietrich. And so there's a phenomenon I didn't have a picture of, and that's those shelf ice. And that's where these drainages, they restrict themselves. When they freeze to the bottom, they actually restrict themselves in the riffle and build up large, high volumes of water that are stepped way up high in the riffle. And once it gets a little snow on it and freezes over, then that's that frazzle ice. It'll actually accumulate on all the rocks and everything, build up a great big dam in the riffles on these creeks. There'll be these great big flat mesa areas, and then the water it'll freeze off, and then it'll cut back out and leave these shelf ice up to 6 feet deep. And those are very dangerous on some drainages where there's lots and lots of shelf ice. You drop a snow machine through there, there's techniques to getting the snow machine out. What normally happens, there's a flow there, and all of the ice that falls through, it dams that flow. And it begins, you've got only a few minutes before you're going to get flooded out. It's building up a whole bunch of water underneath in that chamber. And so there's extraction techniques, and I utilize extraction techniques that old timers have told me about on with poles and so forth. You can get them. So